couple months ago, I asked a good friend of mine and a brother in Christ to come and share on the Holy Spirit. He's just one of the best that I've ever heard talking in the area of the Holy Spirit and the practicality and everyday usage. And Roger, as you get ready to come, they didn't include in the men's conference, and this is just for you. My team brought home first place in the golf tournament, so we were they didn't include that, but that's okay. I got to mention it. But actually, this young man was with me when I got a hole in one up at Iron Horse. And I appreciate our friendship. Debbie, thank you for coming and enjoying your husband. I'll let you introduce your wife in a little more detail. But I thank you for your ministry unto the Lord. Pastor, long time in North Richland Hills and around North Texas in general, right? Yep. So thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, brother. Hope it works, you know. It's an honor to be here today. I walk in this auditorium. I haven't been in here in a long time. And I just kind of got flooded with memories going all the way back to when I was a DYD. And I could waste a lot of my precious time this morning talking about some of those things, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to see if I can get this to open up like it should so I can read it. You know, my eyes are not as good as they used to be. What a wonderful opportunity. What an exciting day that was on hole number 8, wasn't it, at Iron Horse, and he hit that shot. And I think I said it out loud, but I thought it if I didn't. I thought, that could go in the hole, and it did, 178 yards. It wasn't a short par 3, or 76, I think. It wasn't a short par 3, so it's fun, and I appreciate Rich and his friendship and the opportunity to be here today. It's always good to have my wife with me. It's rare that she's not with me. Because I'm not very good without her. You get the better part when she comes along. So, Debbie Stanton, let these friends welcome you here today. What we say about the better half and all that stuff is not true. They're much more than half. Amen? Well, Pastor has asked me to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit today. Now, I know if you're new to Pentecostal charismatic circles, are new to this experience, immediately when I say that, you might be looking for a way to graciously slip out. And maybe graciously is not even there. You're just looking for an exit, you know. But it's okay, all right? Just understand there's no need for that. We're not weird. I don't do weird personally at all. Are you good with that? I just don't. And the Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. It's people that get weird. Bless their hearts. They just don't know how to do it. And we tolerate them. We love them. Amen. But the Holy Spirit's not weird. There's no need for that. The Holy Spirit's very practical and simply wants to equip us to better live the life that God wants us to live. That's really what it's all about. It's equipping us. It's not a thing. It's not a feeling. It's not just an experience, but it really is a tool that God gives us. It was Pentecost Sunday, and a former pastorate, and if you'll forgive me, I'm going to stay pretty close to my manuscript today so that I stay on topic, because I want us to have a good prayer time at the end of the message today and just let God renew and refresh us in the Holy Spirit today. How many would like that? Amen? Amen. Every one of us in the room today. But it was a Pentecost Sunday, and I stepped off the pulpit that morning. I preached on the Holy Spirit. I mean, what else do you preach on Pentecost Sunday? And I have for many decades done that. And I walked off of the platform. I dismissed the congregation. And there was this lady. She sat kind of right over here. The auditorium was laid out about like this. And every Sunday, Nadine Glass was sitting right over there. And a number of times through the years that we were there, she would come to me at the end of a service, and she would have a word or an encouragement, sometimes an enlightenment. Once time she came and said, Pastor, while you were preaching today, I saw two giant angels, one on your right and one on your left, standing. And I believed her because she's the real deal. I mean, she's not one of these off-the-wall things, but when she has something to say, it's meaningful. That Sunday, she said, Pastor, the Lord said something to me about the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that I've never really thought about before. And I said, well, Sister Glass, I want to hear it. Tell me, What did the Lord say to you? She said, well, he talked to me about the difference in being saved and not baptized in the Holy Spirit and being saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are already saying, but I thought they were the same. Hang on. You'll get clear understanding on that before we get through here today. And I said, well, what's the difference? What did he say? And he said, well, he told me to think about building a house. And he said, you can build a house with hand tools, or you can build a house with power tools. How many of you have power tools in your garage? You guys, come on now. I could be a contractor. I got so many in my garage. And how many of you believe that when I have the option, I never go to the handsaw? That thing is work, and it takes a long time. Anyway, she said, the Lord just said to me, you can build a house either way, with hand tools or with power tools, but it's a lot easier and it's a lot faster with power tools. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to build Jesus' church. Amen? He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, most people, when they hear that statement, they think, well, Jesus is saying, step back, get out of my way while I build my church. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. In 1992, Debbie and I moved to Austin. We had a house built. We selected a builder, Wilshire Homes. And they started working on that house. I had a little construction experience, so I was out there every day bothering them to be sure that my house got built like I wanted it to be built. I met dozens of subcontractors from roofers to foundation workers and backhoe operators and electricians and air conditioning people and you just name it, decorators and painters and carpet layers and tile layers and appliance people. I met them all, but there was one person I never met. I never met Mr. Wilshire. He put his name on my house. He advertised my house on his page and said, this is a Wilshire home, but he had never seen my house. He'd never laid hands on it. He trusted other people that he authorized and that he empowered to build his house. Jesus, when he said, I will build my church, was not saying, step back, get out of my way and let me build my church. He was saying, I'm going to build my church, but I'm going to do it with you. We're his subcontractors. He has to empower us to do that. And I want to tell you, when I'm building Jesus' church, I want power tools. I want power tools, amen? See, most people believe that the disciples' first post-resurrection encounter with the Holy Spirit was on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, because we're Pentecostal people. That's where we go on the day of Pentecost. We talk about the church being born on the day of Pentecost. We talk about all those things, but I'm going to tell you, that is not their first encounter with the Holy Spirit post-resurrection. In fact, let's just kind of go there for a moment. The Bible truth today is that they encountered the Holy Spirit on the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He appeared to them in that very moment. And in that evening, the Bible said he appeared in the room. I don't know how he got in the room. He just appeared. He didn't have to use the door. He just appeared. And they were afraid. They were locked in for fear of their lives. And Jesus said, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And you know what he said, John chapter 20. He breathed on them. Everybody say that with me. He breathed on them. Think back 4,000 years before that moment. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're going about the work of creation. And in Genesis chapter 2, it said that they created man. From the dust of the earth, they created him. And then God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, spiritually alive. And then man sinned. Satan tempted Eve, Eve tempted Adam, and they sinned, and they got kicked out of the garden. God said, when you do that, you're going to die. Now, they didn't die physically. They started dying physically. I think they probably would have lived forever. There's no reason to believe otherwise at this point. But they started dying that day. But there was something else that happened. There was a spiritual death that took place. That connection with God, that they would meet with him in the cool of the evening and talk face to face with God. You don't hear about that anymore. There were a few people through the Old Testament that talked to God like that, but not many. There was Enoch that walked with God, and God took him because he couldn't live among normal human beings like you and me any longer. But for the most part, there was a spiritual lack. And from that day on, they offered sacrifices and sacrifices and sacrifices and holy days and feasts and all of these things. And they never were set free from their sin. They just kind of pushed them all out in front of them. But then the final sufficient lamb was sacrificed on a cross of crucifixion. And he was placed in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose from that tomb and came out. And on this day, he breathed on his disciples. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Those were the first born-again believers. They received the Holy Spirit. I want to say to you today, many of you have been told that until you speak with tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, I grew up in a church that's what they taught. But that's not true. That's a lie. You receive the Holy Spirit when you are born again. That's why Jesus said being born of the Spirit in John chapter 3. You receive the Holy Spirit. So if you're a born again, how many in this room are born again believers? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to just say with me, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm born again and I have the Holy Spirit. Let's make that confession today. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. I am born again and I have the Holy Spirit. Whether you've ever spoken in tongues or not, you have the Holy Spirit. Whether you've ever operated any of the gifts of the Spirit or not, you have the Holy Spirit. He indwells you, but there's more. There's more that he wants us to have. Before I go any further, I want to do something I do every time I speak about the Holy Spirit. I want to make a statement. It's a statement of apology and asking for forgiveness. I want to ask for your forgiveness on my behalf and on behalf of my ministry colleagues who in our zeal and our desire for people to embrace the baptism in the Holy Spirit because it is awesome. Everyone needs and should desire this experience. But in our zeal in preaching it and presenting it, we have been guilty. And I've heard this so many times through the years from people sitting in the pews that said, but I just feel like a second-class Christian because I don't speak with tongues. Now, when I said that, there's a number of you in this room that something just happened. In fact, when I announced that I was going to be talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, some of you kind of started drawing back in your shell thinking, oh no, here it goes again. I'm going to be the one that's left out. I'm going to be the second class Christian again today because I haven't spoken in tongues. I'm not going to ask for you to raise your hands today, but I know that it's the truth. And it happened, and it's happening right now, and you're thinking, what is going to happen? I'm going to ask you to do something today that maybe nobody has ever asked you to do before. But if you're one of those that you felt that tension in your spirit when I said, I'm going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You felt that tension in your spirit when I talked about feeling like a second-class Christian. We need a moment of forgiveness here today. And this moment of forgiveness, we cannot possibly miss it. Because if we miss this moment, it may be the barrier that keeps us from breaking through into the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to know and to enjoy. So I want to ask you today, we're going to pray in a moment. I'm not going to give you words to pray. I'm going to pray words, and you can embrace my words if you want to do that. But I want you to understand that it is so important that you recognize it was not my intention. I do not believe it was the intention of any of my colleagues. It might have been an evangelist. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a guest speaker. It might have been a teacher or someone else that you were sitting in that room, and suddenly you felt like, I'm a nobody. I'm a second-class Christian just because I don't speak with tongues. I want to tell you, you are not more saved when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues. You can't be more saved than you're saved right now. Now, I will tell you, we have more power, but it doesn't make us superior. Some of us in the church need to get deliverance from our superiority complex. Amen? So if you're one of those that felt that way, you need to do something today for you more than anything. You need to forgive those people. You need to release them today. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and I ask you to join me in that prayer in your own thoughts, in your own words. But don't miss this moment. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm just going to hang on to this resentment that I have. They made me feel this way. What you need to understand on the other side of that is maybe it wasn't our intention. We did it. I own it. They should own it. But the enemy, Satan, took full advantage of that moment. And so he has created this resentment in your heart that may have been a decades-old barrier to keep you from receiving and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm using precious moments today because I believe these are important moments. If you're willing and ready to participate in this moment of forgiveness, say amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes now, and I want you to pray. I'm not going to pause and pray. I'm just going to read through my prayer that I've crafted here today, and if you want to embrace it in your heart, feel free to do that. Lord Jesus, I want to position myself to receive everything that you have for me today. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want anything to be a barrier. I acknowledge my resentment toward those who have made me feel inferior. But I forgive them, and I declare the real enemy is Satan, who has caused this to keep me from receiving all that you have for me. I release my fears. I release my doubts. I release all of my resentment and unforgiveness to you today, Lord. And I say, I forgive them. I truly forgive them. My heart and my mind are open and available to the truth of God's word today. Help me to relax in your presence and trust your spirit from this day forward. And everyone said amen. See, here's the truth. This experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit is intended, not just available. It's intended for all of us, all our children, all our children's children, as many as the Lord will call. And I don't find any evidence in the scripture that it all went away when the apostles died. It's still alive and working, speaking in tongues, or as I like to call it, spiritual language, is an amazing and purposeful gift that we should not fear, but we should embrace. Can you say amen? Okay, let's get started. The disciples' first encounter, we talked about that, with the Holy Spirit was with Jesus and him breathing on them. But there was more. There was something else that Jesus wanted to do and he wanted to say in that moment after he breathed upon them. Might have been their first encounter, but 35, maybe 40 days later, somewhere in that range, Jesus was sitting in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, eating with his disciples, and he gave them this command. Notice the language there. It wasn't a suggestion. He didn't say, I hope you will do this. I want you to do this. He gave them this command. Everybody say command. It's not an option. It's a command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days. This was not at the very end, because Luke recorded the other one that happened at the very moment that he was ascending up into heaven. But in this moment, he was just sitting with these disciples. Now think about it with me for a moment. Those disciples were in that room when Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now why would he now say, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're saved again? It was another experience. We're born again. We receive the Holy Spirit. But then he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait, and you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist used that terminology as well. Luke also records in chapter 24 of his gospel that just as Jesus was getting ready to lift off and ascend up into the heavens, he spoke to them. He gave them the Great Commission. He said, go preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. And then he said these words, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you in Luke 24:49, but stay, there it is again, stay in the city until you are, if you read the King James, it's endued with power. Most other translations say clothed with power. So here's the difference. When we are spirit born, the Holy Spirit comes in. But when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit comes upon. Amen? And so now we have him inside and out. We're filled up and covered up with the Holy Spirit. I like to say it this way. When I get saved, I give my heart to Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. But when I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit has me. Amen. There is a difference. There's a difference. If I receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, and I have a promise of eternal life, and you do. If you're saved today, if you've never spoken in spiritual language one syllable in your life, if you're born again in this room today, you have a promise of eternal life. You're going to heaven. You're going to live forever and spend eternity with Jesus and with all of your loved ones and with all the family of God forever and ever and ever. You have that promise, and you're saying, well, if I have that, then why should I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Why is it important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Number one, it's a matter of obedience. How many want to obey Jesus? All of us do. Certainly we do. We want to obey Jesus. So we have to get this in our spirit. He didn't suggest to the disciples that they go to Jerusalem and wait until they were endued with power. He commanded them. He said, go and wait. Don't do anything. He gave them a commission. He said, this is what I want you to do. But he also knew they could not do it on their own, that the only way it was going to get accomplished was with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he didn't want them to start any ministry at all until they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a moment. In fact, even God the Father wouldn't let his own son launch his ministry until he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit when he was being baptized by John Baptist. And the Holy Spirit descended, and the Bible said abode, stayed with him. And immediately he launched his ministry. I want to ask you a question that's maybe too obvious. If God would not allow his son to start ministry without the Holy Spirit descending upon him, who do I think I am that I can do what God's called me to do without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life? It's a matter of obedience. Can everybody agree and say amen? His words were specific. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait. Stay in the city. Second, it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because it was the normal expected experience in the beginning of the church. Luke's Acts of the Apostles is a guidebook for the church. It's like the constitution for the church. Now, let me propose something to you. The Constitution of the United States is a founding document. It's the responsibility of legislators and judges and the Supreme Court not to rewrite it or reinterpret it, but to be true to its original intent. Amen? And how many would agree that that's not really happening a lot today? Amen? In fact, when I start talking about that, some of you start getting pretty passionate. And you'll get on Facebook, and we're out there talking about these judges that are rewriting the founding documents of our country. And man, we're just livid about it, and we get all up in arms about it. Let me ask you a question. Why should it be any different than the Bible and the pattern of the Bible for the church? And there was a pattern. See, being baptized in the Holy Spirit was the normal expected experience. I was preaching a few years ago in Northwestern Hills before I resigned the pastorate there on Pentecost Sunday. And there was a gentleman there. He had quite a personal dramatic experience being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He came from a church. Well, he came from almost an agnostic background and got saved in a Church of Christ church as a result of his daughter's going to a Church of Christ school. And he was really saved. And then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. If I had time for that testimony today, it would be wonderful. But he was there that Sunday morning with his mother-in-law. And I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I used that phrase that it was the normal expected experience in the early church. Man, when I got home, I had this email just about to burn a hole through the screen of my computer. You know what I'm talking about? He was hot. I had called his mother-in-law abnormal, and she was not happy about it. I said, I didn't call her abnormal. I just said being baptized in the Holy Spirit was the normal expected experience in the early church. She happened to be of a different denominational church that was a wonderful denomination, but they don't believe and teach what we believe and teach. Actually, they do in their original documents. They're Methodists. Go read the Methodist doctrine, and they believe everything that we believe. They just don't always practice it. But let me tell you something. Neither does the Assemblies of God. Did you know over 50% of the people that sit in our Assemblies of God churches are not baptized in the Holy Spirit? And the other 50% that are, some of them have spoken in tongues and exercised their gifting longer than they can remember. I'm meddling now, okay? I know. I understand. Let me give you an example. There's many. I'm just going to pick one here. In Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached. He was an evangelist. He preached the gospel. When he preached the gospel there in verse 5, it said, Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the gospel of Christ there. Then verse 12, when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now drop down to verse 14 of that chapter, when the apostles in Jerusalem... They were in Jerusalem, Philip was in Samaria, and when they heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not yet, notice the terminology, come upon any of them. It's two separate experiences. One, you can't have the second without the first. You have to be born again first, but then you become a candidate for the baptism in the Holy Spirit after you are born again. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19 is another one, and I won't talk a lot about it, but you know 20 years after the day of Pentecost, Paul went down to Ephesus, and he found these believers there. His first question to them, I'm talking about normal expected experience here, his first question for them was, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He didn't say, have you been baptized? Have you received the Holy Spirit because they expected you get saved, you get baptized in water, and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know the story. He laid hands on them. He preached the gospel. They got saved. They were baptized in water. And then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because it's a matter of obedience. And I want to obey Jesus. Can you say amen? It's the normal expected experience, and it should be the normal expected experience in the church today. We've wandered away from that, but we can come back. It's okay. Amen. We can come back to that. We just need kind of a wake-up call from time to time to rattle our cages a little. That's all right. Amen. That's why they bring me in, because I'm just here and I'm gone, you know. Amen. The third reason is we need the power. Everybody say, I need the power. Now, I'm not just talking about a display of power. I'm not just talking about the display of the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, if you're around me long, you'll find out that I have to be careful how I say this. I don't put a high value on the public demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I didn't say I devalue them. I just don't put a high value on it, but because I don't believe they were primarily given to us to operate inside a Christian meeting with mostly believers in the room, but they were given to us to accomplish the great commission of taking the gospel to the lost. So don't judge a church to be spiritual because they have three tongues in interpretation and three prophetic words every Sunday. Or don't judge a church to not be spiritual if you rarely hear a prophetic word spoken out in the auditorium or a message in tongues and interpretation. People used to really upset me. We'd go to church and have one of those services where the Holy Spirit chose to move in a very public and demonstrative way. And everybody, oh, that was a great service. And I said, what was wrong with last week's service? Come on now, isn't it great, incredible, unimaginable that every week we get to gather like this? and talk about Jesus and worship him. We don't have to have other things. We have Jesus. Again, I'm not going to shut anybody down if they speak in tongues. I'm not going to, or they have a prophetic word. I'm just saying that we have come to the place that that's about the only place that you expect to see it. And I want to tell you, it's much more important on Monday morning when you're sitting across the aisle from your coworker and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and says, you know what? Her husband left her on Saturday and her life is in a mess and she needs somebody to encourage her. And you walk over to her and say, you know what? I've been praying and the Lord just really put you on my heart. And I think I know what's going on. I mean, you don't have to be super spiritual about it and speak in King James. And just, you know, I felt like the Lord told me that your husband left you. And see what begins to happen. That's a real gift of the Spirit right there. Amen. We were sitting in a review update one of our timeshares, and sitting in that room, and you know, I didn't want to go, but they were giving me $200 and four rounds of golf. Okay, so I went. So we're sitting in this room, and the sweet lady that was doing this update, I mean, I just kind of learned to listen and say no. Listen and say no. Listen and say no. Suddenly I'm listening and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Well, I don't say no to him. But I know the voice of the Spirit because somebody told me, how do you know when God's talking to you? Richard Exley, maybe some of you know him, is a good friend of mine. He said, well, if it's not illegal and it's not immoral and it's not something you would normally think of, it's probably God. It's kind of the way God talks to me. And I was sitting there. I mean, as clearly as anything, now God doesn't speak to me in an audible voice. He interrupts my thoughts. That's the only way I know to describe it. He interrupts my thoughts. And I'm sitting there bored with this presentation. He interrupts my thoughts with, tell her it's not her fault. Well, she's telling us about her son who died of cancer. And then after I heard that word, she goes into this talking about how she was standing at the casket when her son died of cancer, 12 years old, I think he was. And people started coming by and saying, if you'd taken him to this evangelist or to that evangelist, or if you'd had enough faith, your son would have lived. He wouldn't have died. This has been years now, and she's been living with this. And I just stopped her, and I said, look, I don't know. I'm not weird or anything, but I just feel like the Lord put this in my heart and wants me to share it with you. And I looked at her, and I said, it's not your fault. And she just melted. Now, see, that's a word of knowledge. So we need to get past this, that we got to see everything happen. We want to be used by God. Oh, I got off track there. I'm sorry. That's not in my notes, and I told you I was going to stay with them. So that added 5 minutes to the message today. We need the power. We need, that's the kind of power that we need in our world today, and that's the kind of power that the world needs from us today. Amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will empower us to be his witnesses. Now, Matthew 28, he said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And then he said, go therefore. So he's saying, I'm giving you my authority to go. Guys, if you can keep it, there you go. They're good back there. I'm so, my slides, this is the first time I've done this talk in this way. So I'm just kind of running around back and forth here. But what he said in Matthew 28 about authority, it's exousia, and it means like the license. I give you the right. I give you the license to do this. I give you authority to do this. That's the kind of authority. The King James calls it power. All power in heaven and earth, but it's really authority or license or right. How many know people have license to do things that they don't do very well? People have a license to drive a car, and I swear, man, where did they get their license, you know? But then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. He told him in Matthew 28, go witness. And he said in Acts chapter 1, you're going to receive power. And I think those were the same moment, just two different Luke's pulling things together, but I in the same conversation. So he said, I'm going to give you the right, but then he said, I'm going to give you power. And the word there is different. It's not the same as power or authority in Matthew 28. It's the word dunamis. It's pronounced dunamis. It's spelled D-Y-N-M-I-S. Where do we get? We get the word dynamite from that. It's literally where we get the word dynamite. And dunamis means ability or might. So Jesus said in one place, here's the license, but you need more than a license. You need ability to do what I've given you the authority to do. Does that make sense? So that's why he said, go wait. You need this power. I just gave you authority, but you need this power. You can't do what I gave you the license to do without the power and the ability to do it. We need the power. Everybody say, I need the power. We can't operate it without it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, the disciples had been thrown in jail. Some of them had, and the others went into a prayer meeting. Your pastor gets thrown in jail, it'll cause a prayer meeting. Yeah, you know, we call a prayer meeting. If we get 10% of our Sunday morning crowd, we're going, whoo. But you want to really get a big prayer meeting, get him thrown in jail, and y'all will be down here praying. At least I hope you would. I didn't get too many amens there, Pastor Rich. So they're having a prayer meeting. You know what their prayer was? Acts chapter 4, you can go read this. Their prayer was, God, give us boldness. Give us boldness. How many of you ever wished you found yourself in a situation, you thought, I need to say something. I need to talk to this person about Jesus. I needed boldness that day to say to her, it's not your fault, when I really didn't know what I was talking about. You have to have boldness. Anybody in the room, you ever thought you, let's be honest now, there's been times that I didn't do what the Lord wanted me to do because I needed boldness. How many of you would say you've been in that place that you didn't do what the Lord wanted you to do because you didn't have the boldness to do it? These disciples were praying for boldness. Oh, God, give us boldness. They were under threat of being arrested and persecuted as well. Give us boldness. We need boldness, Lord. You know how God answered their prayer? The Holy Ghost fell on them. He baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Because he knew that's the power to do what you have the license to do. I want to take just the last few minutes of my talk today and talk about tongues. I often do a whole message on tongues. In fact, this is a 7-week series that I'm compressing into 30 minutes, 7 30-minute messages. Because tongues, I think, are the most controversial piece of this. And I think tongues are one of the reasons that people don't enter into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because it's a little intimidating. It really is. I mean, it seems kind of weird. Okay, I'm going to speak in a language I've never heard. But I think it helps to understand that tongues is a very purposeful and powerful gift that comes with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's not just something we do to so others can say, oh, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because we do believe it's the initial physical evidence. But it goes much deeper than that. Initial's the key word there. It's just the beginning. It's not the finish. It's not a destination. It's just a beginning. So I just to say a couple of things. Number one, tongues are biblical. How many of you would say if it's in the Bible, it's okay? Amen? I could give you dozens of places in the scripture where tongues are mentioned. I'm not going to do that today. I think you know that. So they're biblical. So we're okay to go ahead and talk about tongues. Secondly, tongues are beneficial. Everybody say beneficial. It's not just something we do. It's something that benefits us and others and has purpose. Number one, we pray in tongues and it builds us up. So you don't have to call the pastor to get encouraged and built up. All you have to do is get baptized in the Holy Spirit and learn to pray in the Spirit regularly, and it builds you up. It encourages you. It's like a daily workout. When I was serious about being physically fit, you can obviously tell I'm not serious as I need to be about that. Amen. But when I every morning I'd get up. I mean, it was early. I'd meet my trainer at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he would put me through the paces, and he would build me up. Man, he built up my muscles. He built up my strength. He built up my stamina. He built up my immune system by doing all of that. Well, you see, it's what we do in the Holy Spirit as well. He it builds us up. Ephesians 6, Paul talks about praying in the Spirit. Jude talked about building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Amen. It's the most wonderful thing. If nothing else happened to you beyond that, as you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's worth it just to receive that gift and exercise that gift in your life. How many of you in this room, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you pray in the Spirit on a daily basis? Amen. Now, see, I thank you for your honesty in the room today, because if you want to build yourself up, it's a regular process. We build ourselves up. Speaking in tongues is safe. Some people think, well, I'm going to do that. Some devil's going to come in because they've been told it's of the devil. But go to Luke chapter 11 and the story of Jesus asking them, if your son asks for a fish, do you give him a scorpion or a snake? Or if he asks for bread, do you give him a stone? And obviously the answers for us are you, what do you think? I'm crazy? What do you think about me? And he's saying, you being evil know how to do good things for your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give? Listen to this. We missed this part of it. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. You're not going to ask and get something that's going to be harmful. Praying in the Spirit helps us overcome our own selfishness and our own lack of understanding. Romans 8 says that we have these groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, words that we don't understand, we can't interpret. But the Holy Spirit, I love this. He said the Holy Spirit helps us. Helps us. I remind you, Jesus' description of the Holy Spirit was the helper. And I often use this to remind people, he's the helper, not the doer. If you're not doing anything, neither is he. At least in your life. He comes alongside to help us. Well, that went over big. Amen. Maybe it's just making you think. You never heard it said quite like that. He's the helper. And then I close with this. Praying in tongues is therapeutic. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Praise team, come up if you will and give me something that's relative to the Holy Spirit this morning. If you can do that, please. Paul said, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Amen. Speaks not to men. He utters, listen to it, mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. Something I don't know, something I don't understand. Verse 14, he said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Through the years, I mean, it's not so much lately, but several years ago, I went through a season where I had terrible anxiety. I didn't even know what it was, and I won't give that testimony how I discovered. But and then I listened to a message that referenced a video and an experience of an Assemblies of God pastor up in New York. And all I'm going to say about it is when you go home, just go to your computer, go to YouTube, and search for Nightline Online Tongues. That's all you have to do. This is an old thing. It's 10, 15 years old now. But they actually did, they had this pastor. It was not a Christian effort. It was just medical, scientific. They brought this pastor and several members of his church, Jerry Stolzfus is his name, into this clinic, and they did scans on their brain while they were praying in English and while they were praying in tongues. And you say, well, now, how do you do that? I can't just pray in tongues when I want to. Of course you can. It's a gift. God gives you a gift, and when he gives you the gift, it's yours to use. You don't have to have some kind of a special feeling or anointing or be in a special place. It's your gift. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit wherever. Anyway, they would pray in English, and then they would pray in the Spirit. And you can see it on the videos. They showed the scans right there. And when they were praying in English, the speech center of the brain's right up here, and it was just alive. And it was red, and it was alive. And then when they began to pray in the Spirit, it went quiet. Because you're bypassing the conscious level of the mind. He said, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. You bypass the conscious level of the mind and go straight to God. Some of you have had stuff in your cabinets when you had kids at home, and you would lock the cabinets because there was stuff in there you didn't want them to get and ingest. Kids eat everything and drink everything. You know what that is, except good food. You know, they want vegetables. They don't want spinach. They want to drink the lotion under your cabinet. You know, but on some of those products, there's a warning, and it says, if you induce this, if you swallow this, do not induce vomiting. I hope that word doesn't offend you, but that's what it says. And there's a reason for that, because if you vomit what you just swallowed, it burned going down, and it's going to burn coming up. See, we do this to one another all the time. We regurgitate all of this stuff. And we need to be able to talk to one another. I'm not against counselors at all. I want you to understand that. I don't have any issues with Christian counseling. I just think if we get this down, we'll need them less. Amen? So when you need them, and you need to utilize them and let them help you. But I can't imagine being, I couldn't be a counselor. 20, 30 hours a week, people regurgitating all this stuff that they've ingested spiritually and emotionally and mentally. Then I have to go home and deal with it. But I've learned that I can come into the presence of the Lord. And I can just begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in my spiritual language. And it's just like a heavenly upload of all of this trash and all of this pain and all of this disappointment and all of this anger and all of it. Without it having to go through my mind again, the Holy Spirit just kind of lifts it off. That's therapy. How many need therapy today? Amen. I need therapy today. Stand with me across the room. Stand with me all over the room today. We're going to come to the altar in a moment. And when I say we, I mean we. I mean everybody in the room. I'm not going to call out a few people in the room that may never have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and put a spotlight on you. I believe there's people in this room, you need to be rebaptized in the Holy Spirit as much as somebody that's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you need to begin to walk from this day forward every day in the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, when I have days that I don't stop and pray in the Spirit, I know it. And I stop in the middle of that day and I say, I know what I missed. I know I got too busy. Amen. How many here would like to just be totally refreshed and rebaptized in the power of the Holy Spirit today? Amen. Father, right now we just ask you, in these moments, fill us, overflow us, and baptize us in your Spirit today. I want you to lift your hands all over the room. If you've never lifted your hands in church before, it's okay. Go ahead, join us. Let's just all do it together. Lift your hands, and I want you to say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I want everything, and I mean everything, that you've prepared for me. My heart is open. My mind is free, and I'm ready to receive. Pour out your Holy Spirit on me today. Clothe me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me begin to speak in spiritual language today. Come on, do you mean that today? I want to speak in spiritual language today, Lord. I want to renew my experience. If you're here and you've never been baptized, Lord, I want this for the very first time in my life. I want this today. Lord, we come to you. In a moment, Lord, when we step out of our seats and we walk down to the altar area and we all stand or kneel or whatever posture you want to be in together, Lord, we open our hearts to you and we want to experience what those disciples did in Acts chapter 4. The Holy Spirit fall upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to begin moving toward the front right now. Every single person in this room, every person. I want you to come find a place. Move up close if you're the first ones here so that there's plenty of room behind you for all of the others that are coming. And you get to this altar. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to just begin to worship in your spiritual language right now. You might begin to intercede in your spiritual language. There may be something going on in your life that you need, but I want you to speak in the spiritual language that God's given you. You can do that right now. Exercise that gift that he has given you. And you that are here that want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to just lift your heads. And I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to lift your voice as we begin to worship the Lord today. I've never seen anybody baptized in the Holy Spirit with their head buried in their hands or in their knees, but they were lifted up. So lift up your head and lift up your hands and lift up your voice today. And just allow the Holy Spirit, when you hear things in your spirit or in your ear that you've never spoken before, that's the Holy Spirit wanting to manifest himself. Just say it. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Don't care about what anybody else thinks. Just let the Holy Spirit begin to manifest in your life today. Amen. Father, right now, come on, lift up your voices today. All of you that are praying in the Spirit, pray out loud. Lift up your voice today. Let's be heard in the room today as we magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shilobo robo kosapara barakaste. Kadigolo robo koromoko. Kamboroboko shobolo barabarabaki. Hallelujah. Come on, let it roar. Let it be a roar in this room today. The Bible said those people in Acts chapter 4, they were loud. They were loud as they began to cry out to God and say, give us boldness. Some of you need boldness today. Begin to cry out for boldness and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Begin to cry out for power and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Begin to cry out for his grace. He'll give you the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. You that want to be baptized for the first time, the Holy Spirit's speaking right now. I'm not telling you what to say. He's telling you what to say. Now speak it by faith. It's an act of faith. An act of faith. Take what he's given you. Don't wait for more. Take what he's given you and speak it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, send us out of here refreshed and empowered with a new anointing, a new and a fresh anointing upon our lives. Power to carry out the Great Commission. Power to be used in your kingdom. Power in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Just keep lifting up the Lord. Keep worshiping him. Keep interceding. Whatever the Holy Spirit's doing through you right now, just let it continue. You that are here to be filled, just worship him. But then you have to move from English into whatever he's speaking to you. Just let it happen right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. He's here. His presence is real. That sounds so beautiful, Sheila. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just speak it out. Let the Holy Spirit begin to flow through you. That's evidence that he has empowered you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, somebody is so close right now. If you'll just step across that line of fear, just let it you have to do the talking. The Holy Spirit's not going to do it for you. He gives you the utterance, gives you the words, tells you what to say. It's dictation. But you have to speak it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Pastor's coming to dismiss as he feels led today. I just want to say one other thing. Some said, well, how do I stay fresh, empowered? I think a lot of it has to do with how we live our lives. If you don't live a life that demands the power of the Holy Spirit, he's probably not going to be very active in your life. I'll tell you a quick story of a lady. My church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She came from a different denominational background, but was hungry and had been to several revivals and evangelists, and nothing had happened. One Saturday night, she felt like she needed to call her mom, and she called her mom. She had talked to her earlier in the day, but felt like I needed to call her again. Now, understand, she's in Texas, and her mom's 3,000 miles away in Canada, lives out in the boonies. There's nobody close to her at all. Her mother's in her 80s. So she's talking with her on the phone, saying, Mom, I just felt like we need to finish that conversation. And while she's talking to her, her mom says, there's somebody in Atlanta can hear the knocking going in the background. There's somebody at my door. And it's late at night. It's after 10 o'clock at night, same time zone. And she said, I'm going to hang up and go see who's at my door. And Atlanta says, no, don't you dare hang up the phone. You leave that line open so I can hear. The next thing she hears in just a few seconds is her mother saying, get out of my house. Get out of my house. And finally she comes back and says, Atlanta, there's a drunk man in my house. I'm going to hang up and call the police. Click. Atlanta's 3,000 miles away. Her 80-something-year-old mother's alone in the house with a drunk that walked through her front door. And what do? Atlanta said, I just fell on my face in the carpet and started crying out to God. And when I came to, I was praying in tongues. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit right there. So, you know, put yourself in positions that demands power. The disciples in Acts chapter 4 needed boldness. And they were in a place they needed it. So begin to live your life out there. And the Holy Spirit will come. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.